Voila, back on time. Joseph Gacking in for Hawk with Crowder, Alex Solana, Stephen Preciado, Jimmy Garcia. That's our team today, directing you home until 6 o'clock, even though Solana says it's not going to rain. I would suspect you're probably going to have a soggy ride home, so be safe. It's crazy out there, by the way.
Yes.
People are out driving now. It is crazy. It is Indianapolis 500, NASCAR. People are in the right lane. Next thing you know, they're in the left lane. It's like being in a video game.
Yeah. They hit the shoulder down here. I've seen people ride the shoulder. I don't think
people haven't been driving for a year. They're making up for it.
They're making up their time.
Yes, they are. Yeah, places to go and people to see, and they are going to get there in a hurry.
And y'all, if all y'all aggressive drivers out there, Joe, I don't know how you drive, but y'all have probably cussed me out because I'm the grandpa that goes 50 in the fast lane. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I drive slow, Joe.
I can't believe that. I think you're lying.
I'm not. My wife kills me. Every time me and my wife and kids go somewhere, Asia tells me, like, she wants to drive, but she doesn't want to, you know, emasculate me because I'm the man. I should be driving. But she'll offer 100 times. You want me to drive? I'll drive. You want me to drive? Because she knows. Yeah, I'm going to go to speed limit and just sit and ride and enjoy myself.
I don't know. I think 85% of us would be considered slow drivers right now. Because the other 15 or whatever, 20, 30%, whatever it is, people are driving like they've got a purpose. I don't know what the purpose is other than get out of their way.
Yeah, yeah. Solana can't even drive yet. I was driving a couple of days after my ACL surgery, but for some reason.
I know, Solana, you know, De'Ara King, he's bouncing back from his knee surgery. If you were De'Ara King, I'd be a little bit worried. You're not getting back here quick enough.
No, I mean, I'm. This is week two, Joe. I'm on week two as of yesterday, and I'm walking with crutches. This is a process. It's day by day, Joe. You can't rush this. You want me to be back for Bama for the opener for Bama Canes? I had surgery 2 weeks ago.
It's a 305.
Dale.
God bless. Dale.
The breaking news.
Yeah, Joe, as you sit there and prepare for Bama Canes, has Solana's name come up in any conversations?
No, not yet, thankfully.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just let him know.
Okay. All right. What do you got for us here in the 3 o'clock hour, Solana?
Joe, did you give the 3 o'clock hour code word by any chance?
By any chance. You know what? Great minds think alike. I was just about to say, we're giving you a chance to win $1,000 ballpark cash on the ticket. And the $1,000 home run on the Joe, $1,000 for you to spend wherever you want. And this hour's word is note. That's note. Take note that this hour's word is note. You can text note to 72881 and you are entered in the contest. You just might win $1,000. So make a note to text the word note. To 72881, and you could be $1,000 richer, or as, oh yeah, you did spell richer right. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Sponsored by Andajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. We will now take note of Solana's update.
That's right. So I know you mentioned it, Joe, but the Miami Hurricanes, they've scheduled a home-and-home football series versus Auburn. They have not played Auburn, I don't think, since the 80s, maybe, the last time that they played.
I think it was a 3-0 game in the 70s.
Yeah, I'm reading here, 1984.
84. The last time. Wait a minute. That, take that back. That was Jimmy Johnson's first game. I should have known that. Nope. Jimmy Johnson's very first game. It was in the Meadowlands. Bo Jackson played for Auburn, and Miami won the game late.
Look at that. I'm giving you Canes trivia here.
Monday night game.
Keeping you on your toes.
It was a Monday night game.
Keeping you on your toes. The Canes got a home-and-home with an SEC team, and they're going to host the first game. How about that? Miami got a home-and-home and will host the first game. They're going to host the Tigers at Hard Rock Stadium September 1st, 2029. I can't believe this is news. 2029 and 2030, but that's that's what I started off here, Crowder. That's what I started off with here.
Y'all locking in 9 years from now, huh? Make sure y'all
I'm rolling that one over in my mind. I'm trying to figure out my age.
The kids that are playing in that game are what?
Haven't been born yet.
They're 10. They're 10 years old right now. Come on, man.
Hey, it's a big win. We got the first game at home.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, that's big, though. That is big, though, Joe. No joke. That is pretty big.
And normally, when they make those deals,
SEC team.
Normally, when Miami makes those deals, they always have to go to someplace first, and then they get their return game.
Yeah. But by that time, I won't even have dreads anymore. I'll be bald-headed, fat. It's going to be
I'll probably have spit rolling down my face.
You ain't drooling, Joe. I ain't going to let you drool, Joe. You my dude. I ain't going to let you drool on yourself.
All right, guys, this sports update is brought to you by Local 10 News on WSFL TV 39. Finally, you have a choice in local news from 7 to 9 a.m. with Alexis Frazier and Gio Insignatis. Now at a time that fits your life on WSFL TV 39, we're going to talk to Coach L coming up about some of these games. Last night, Game 5, Hawks beat the Sixers 109 to 106. They were down 20-plus throughout the game. They were down 18 going into the fourth quarter. They were able to come back all the way, take a 3-2 series lead.
I shut that game off. Mm-hmm. Then I watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I think that's what it was called. Well, I didn't really watch it myself. It was on in my family room. My wife was watching it. I just happened to go from my office to the kitchen for chocolate ice cream.
Oh. Just regular chocolate?
Actually, it was chocolate mint.
Oh, mint?
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah, it was really good.
Mint?
Yeah.
You eat mint? Mint's well, for breath. That's all mint should be used for.
Normally, I like chocolate ice cream with chocolate syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? You good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. But this mint is throwing me off.
It's what she bought. It's what I ate.
Oh, okay.
And then I lost track of the Sixers game. I go back. The game is over. I thought, well, they won by 20. Only to find out they lost. So then I think I figured, well, I'll watch the replay. The replay was on at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I DVR'd the replay, only for the DVR to run out, and once again, I didn't see the fourth quarter again. So it wasn't meant to be.
You got to get your technology together, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, your DVR run out.
Tough 12 hours. Then I spilled coffee on the new sofa. That'll be another story later on.
You're the first human.
Hopefully, I'll be here tomorrow.
Mrs. Eagle knock you out.
She's probably right.
Joe, the first time I've ever heard somebody say my DVR ran out was when you just said it.
Well, I don't think DVR ran out. I didn't put in extend 30 minutes. I figured, I figured that on the guide on DirecTV that TNT would have been on time. But I was wrong, I guess, because the Utah game ran long. That screwed up the rest of their programming, which therefore screwed up my tape recording.
I'm sorry, Joe. It happens to me, too.
Go.
Yeah, when it cuts off whenever
it overflows.
Yep. All they do is they just record that window between the two little vertical lines. Yeah. I'm sorry, Joe. My bad.
I thought it might be very important for me to know what happened in the fourth quarter so you and I could have a conversation about it. So now I can just go to the default position, which is Sixers choked.
Yeah, Joe, I just say they kind of wore them out. They didn't want to play anymore, and Ben Simmons is terrible. That's all you missed.
And Trae Young, again, a guy takes over a game. These guys that the Heat don't have are proving to be players that, you know, take over games, not just by a little bit, but by a lot.
Yeah. Is Trae Young's hair infant hair or llama hair?
I don't know.
Which one would you
I would call it uncontrollable hair.
But doesn't it look thin like a baby?
I would just say, you scored 39 points, give me whatever he wants it to be. I don't care. He can have it. You can call it a comb over if you want. He's on my team.
I've made fun of him for years, and he keeps dropping 40. So, yeah, I'm with you. Call it what you want. Man's balling.
The Clippers beat the Jazz 119 to 111. They also caused Joe Zagacki to miss the fourth quarter of the Hawks beating the Sixers.
In the middle of the night.
They lead the series 3-2 as well. Two shocking results, I would say, yesterday in the NBA. Tonight, Game 6, Bucks-Nets, 8:30 p.m. Can Kevin Durant and James Harden, or whatever's left of James Harden's hamstring, close out the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee? No Kyrie Irving tonight. That's an 8:30 p.m. tip-off.
I think the Bucks are going to win.
Whew. Why?
And I don't have a really good reason for it other than pride after blowing that lead the other night. They had a 17-point lead. I do think they are well coached, and Brooklyn is without Kyrie Irving and Harden. I think, you know, when I watched him defend the other night, I was like, well, just keep driving the ball at him.
Yeah.
Drive at him and around him.
But Joe, like, this is the same situation.
And he doesn't run down the floor.
No.
He's barely moving.
The same situation they had last game, they're going to have this game with KD's historic night, 49, 17, and 10.
I don't think Durant goes for 49 tonight.
And I would say that would be what has to change, because Harden didn't ball. He played 40-plus minutes and didn't do anything. You could tell he was still hurt.
Yeah, he was just in the game.
He was
like,
just
here,
out
I'll
there.
Touch the ball. He's more of a decoy than anything and could not defend.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So if you believe the Bucks are going to win, you just kind of said it, Joe. If you believe the Bucks are going to win, you believe that the Bucks are going to slow down Kevin Durant.
Yes.
And I just watched what he did last game. I don't see how they do unless Giannis, who is a two-time MVP, steps his ass up and goes out there to Durant. And he blamed it on Budenholzer. But, Joe, I talked about it yesterday with Hawk. I have seen 100 times. You've covered every sport. You've watched basketball games, Joe, when LeBron and when great players, they'll just point at their teammate and say, take him, I'm going to take him. Giannis, if Giannis takes control and gets his testosterone kick in and say, hey, move out the way, I'm on KD, that's the only way I think the Bucks
there
can
has
win.
Been a bit of a soft approach there. Now, while Durant was a flamethrower the other night, Milwaukee had about 6 chances in that game late where every time down the floor, they either missed a shot or screwed up the possession and fumbled the ball.
Yeah, turnovers killed him
as
well.
I'm like, can't you guys hold on to the ball here?
Yep.
It's a pretty important possession. Hold on to the damn ball. Get a shot off.
So us as our great coaching mind, we have Coach Larry Nager coming on next week. Probably give us a lot better evaluation of this situation, but don't turn the ball over and don't let somebody score 50 on you. Seems simple, Joe.
All right, Solana, how's our weather doing today?
Before we get to weather, Joe, which I'm sorry,
I didn't want to speed you up.
Really quickly, your U.S. Open leaderboard update. It's brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf Shops. Just a 4-way tie atop the leaderboard right now at 3 under par. Patrick Rogers, Russell Henley, Brooks Koepka, and Xander Schauffele all tied at 3 under par right now. All of them still playing here at the U.S. Open, day one of the U.S. Open. Again, that's brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers around the country since 1968. Now your weather, Joe Zagacki. And Joe, I mean, you're saying that it's really bad out there, and I'm just in a different area than you, because right now it's nice and sunny in K-Town, but there is chances of thunderstorms all across South Florida. So seriously, if you are on the road, please be safe. Tonight the lows will drop into the low 70s. That, Joe Zagacki, is your weather.
I'm looking out the window here in our studios, and the clouds look like a dirty carpet.
100% right? Correct. Yes.
You just got to flip them around. You just got to flip them around like the couch today.
Clouds that look like lead and a dirty carpet.
He said you got to flip them over. Like the couch cushion.
Oh, you flipped? Yeah, well, maybe that would work. I don't know. Good idea, Solana.
You're going to be in so much trouble when you get home.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm coming to your house.
Come on. No. Man, what
are you having for dinner tonight? I have Joe's coming tonight. What are you having?
I think we're tacos tonight.
Good.
Yeah,
my favorite food.
Oh, I got you. Soft or hard.
Doesn't matter. Tacos are my favorite tonight.
Joe, come on with it, baby. Follow me.
Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about what happened to the Sixers last night. And we'll talk about what Milwaukee might do tonight. And, hey, Mike Krzyzewski also is going to retire. We'll get Coach Yell's thoughts on all that when we come back.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You've really never seen Crowder?
Was he getting out of prison?
Hawk and Crowder.
University of Miami head coach Jim Larranega. Coach Yell, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. I'm surprised to talk to you. I figure Hockman and Crowder, we'd be talking movies all day today. What am I going to talk to you, Joe Z? We got to talk some hoops?
We'll talk a little bit about basketball. Crowder's got a whole bunch of movie questions lined up for you.
We'll mix them in, Coach. We'll mix them in.
All right.
What did you think? Now, I know Doc Rivers is a friend of yours. He had a tough night last night. What did you think of the fourth quarter? And when you're watching that as a coach, is there anything a coach on the sidelines can do to change that kind of momentum?
Well, here's the thing. If your guys don't make the shot, don't make the free throws, it doesn't matter what offense you're running. The players under those conditions really have to raise their level of play. And I think that's what Trae Young and his teammates did. They're down like 24 points. They outscored, I think the fourth quarter score was 40-21. That can't happen. The players have to take a lot of responsibility for that. Now, it's very easy for the media to criticize the coach. So Doc Rivers gets some criticism, but you know, Doc knows the game. He's coached a long time. He's won a championship with the Celtics. So, you know, Embiid need to make the free throws. Those guys, one of the things I was surprised about was the big kid from Australia who went to LSU.
Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ben Simmons, he made two free throws down the stretch. Right, there's a guy who doesn't shoot free throws well, and he was able to put them in. So I would say Atlanta has put themselves in a great position. If you remember the layup, the inside basket that Embiid missed in the game in Atlanta, at the very end of the game, he missed a wide-open layup. So you know, sometimes the players just have to step up and deliver. I think the Hawks are in great position now to move to the Eastern Conference Finals. They still got to get another win, but they put themselves in the right place at the right time.
And, Coach L, talking about Ben Simmons, I wanted to ask you, because I remember Hack a Shaq. I remember these seven-footers. Like, the whole thing in my growing up, these seven-footers would struggle at the line. But you're starting all-star, all-defense, point guard, can't hit shots. Just really, like, can't do it from the line. What do you do as a coach? What do you do when a guy that you want on the court, defensive monster, and facilitates well, but they can go and grab him at any moment and put him on the line, and you know that's a lost offensive possession? Like, how do you figure that out when you have a guy like Ben Simmons in your lineup?
Well, for me, I hope we don't recruit that guy. It is so hard because if you look at these games, almost all of them, there are blowouts, but most of these games are decided in like the last 2 minutes, the last 1 minute, the last possession. So you want your best players to be able to step up and deliver. And if they happen to have a weakness in their game, the pressure's on the coach. Do I leave them in for defense? One of the things you'll see from time to time, especially in college, not so much in the NBA, is you'll see offense defense. You'll see guys play at the defensive end, but because they're not good free throw shooters, they get taken out. In the NBA, that's hard to do with an all-star. You gotta count on them to make plays.
Coach L, the Milwaukee Bucks faced the same situation tonight. They had a big lead the other night. They blew the lead in the fourth quarter. Durant got hot, became a flamethrower. How do they send it? How does Milwaukee send it to a game seven? What does Budenholzer tell his team? You know, they have one day to get ready. How do they put that game behind them and move into tonight's game?
Yeah, it's a tough job at getting your players to forget a loss like that when, you know, a win puts you in the driver's seat and a chance to close it out. So what I would say is the same thing I said about Philadelphia. You know, the Greek freak has to step up. Giannis is unbelievable talent. And he should have, and the Bucks should have won at Brooklyn. But they didn't. So you got to put the game quickly behind you mentally and emotionally and get ready and put yourself in a position to get to game seven, and all the pressure then would go on the Brooklyn Nets. One of the things that struck me was James Harden played 42 minutes and he was like playing on one leg. He was just standing around on defense and just passing the ball on offense. I think he was 0 for 10 from the field, and 0 for 8 from 3. So, you know, they were playing with a half a man, and the Bucks never took advantage of his inability to defend. And then they didn't double team Kevin Durant either. In of those coaches, you know, I love Doc Rivers, I love Budenholzer, but sometimes the players have to step up and make better decisions themselves, guard a little bit better, rebound a little bit better, and most importantly, you know, make good decisions on offense. You can't turn the ball over. You got to get good shots every time down the court. Easier said than done, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had so many situations in my own coaching career where I was hopeful my guys would make a good decision and someone would turn it over trying to make a big play.
And you speak about guarding KD, Coach, where the storyline, you know, after the last Bucks game was that Giannis, the two-time MVP, is not guarding Kevin Durant, who went for 49, 17, and 10. And he said Budenholzer's scheme was for him not to guard him. They put P.J. Tucker on him. P.J. Tucker's 6'5". Kevin Durant is 7 feet damn near. Like, what? Why would he make a decision for the reigning MVP not to guard a guy that's about to drop 50 on you?
Well, I'm going to say it this way. I don't care who they put on him. Kevin Durant is a scoring machine. Even the Greek Freak can't really shut him down. Everyone would say, well, he'll contest the three better. But Kevin Durant is so skillful. He knows how to attack any defender, whether to shoot over him and make a three or drive by him and dunk it on him. The guy is the best offensive player in the NBA at this moment. There is no guarding him with one guy.
We saw Donovan Mitchell, Coach. He was in our league, played for Louisville. We had him. He played against us twice. Two things about Donovan Mitchell. One, did you think he'd be this good in the NBA? And two, what do you think the Clippers have done to kind of slow him down a little bit?
Yeah, well, the first thing is I think we shut Donovan Mitchell down. I think our defense was great.
Oh, I love it.
Someone asked me when we played Duke, you know, how'd you guard Jason Tatum? You know, what was your scheme? I said, we put Kamari Murphy on him. And that was the scheme. Kamari Murphy was a fantastic defender. He held Jason to 8. But those guys, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, it is so hard to guard these incredibly offensive, gifted athletes. They have shooting ability from 3. They have driving ability. Most of these guys are great free throw shooters. Like Kevin Durant shoots like 88% from the foul line. Donovan Mitchell's up there. Jason Tatum's up there. These guys that have so many weapons in their arsenal. Donovan Mitchell, you know, okay, so he didn't get 40. But you don't hold him to 10 or 8. You know, he still ends up with over 20. You got to rely on your teammates to step up and help you some nights. You can't just carry the team every single night. And you saw what happened when Kyrie went out. I mean, Bucks were able to get a win because their guy, Chris Middleton, played so great, and so did Giannis. So you really rely on your players at this level. The NBA is about the superstars. And so the best players on your team have to play their best against the other team's superstars. And no matter what your defensive scheme is, you know, those guys will figure out a way to score. Now, what I'm surprised about is there's been less zone in this playoffs. I always thought that the reason Nick Nurse led the Toronto Raptors to the World Championship is because he not only adjusted who guarded the best players, he went zone, he went box and one, he went triangle and two, he went 2-3, and the Heat did that to get to the finals last year. They played their best defense when they sat in a 2-3 zone with their out front challenging the threes and their guards on the back line guarding the corners and Bam just covering the middle. So I'll be very interested if there's any major adjustments in these games six and game sevens.
And, Coach, I want to ask you about Donovan Mitchell because you're right. He scored 21 last night. You know, in the loss, he still scored 21, but he was scoring 37 and 41 and 45 in the other games. You saw last night he wasn't hitting. He was shooting threes with 18 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, he was trying to get going, and he just wasn't going. From your perspective as a coach, like, when your star, like you said, this is these games are based on stars. These series are based on stars. When your star is having a bad game, what do you say to him? Do you pull him to the side and say, hey, this isn't your night? Like, what do you say to Donovan Mitchell last night when you saw that he's not going to drop 40 for you?
Well, unfortunately for Quinn, Quinn Snyder, the head coach of the Jazz, he doesn't have Michael Conley in the back with Donovan Mitchell. So you're missing one of your key guys, and now there's even more pressure on Donovan to deliver, and he does several games, but now he's a little bit fatigued. The defense has made some adjustments in guarding him. Of course, now that win that the Clippers had was a tremendous accomplishment by Paul George.
Yeah.
Because he's the star with Kawhi, but Kawhi's hurt. Paul George stepped up in a huge way. So, you know, one guy doesn't have his best game and the other guy does. And the stars have to be in line, and the NBA superstars have to have big games to win in the playoffs. There's no question about it.
Coach, to bring this back to South Florida for a moment, I think you are on the floor today with some of your players. What does your roster look like? How do you feel about what you're seeing right now in the summer? And secondly, do you have any update on Isaiah Wong and Cam McGusty? Might they come back?
Well, we certainly hope Cam and Isaiah will be back. They're both going through the draft process. They both did interviews with NBA franchises yesterday. Isaiah has another one coming up at the end of this month. But I feel good. We're going to have all of our players in by next Friday. So even our freshmen who are arriving will be here and get cleared, and we'll be able to start working the guys out as a group. And the guys we had today, we had six guys playing 3-on-3, and they did a really good job. Jordan Miller, who's a transfer from my old school, George Mason, doing a really nice job of making the adjustment to Miami. He's a left-handed 6'6", 6'7", athlete, can shoot the three, can drive it, finds the open man very well, plays hard on defense. He was George Mason's leading scorer and leading rebounder. So he's a very nice addition. Charlie Moore, a point guard from DePaul, comes in tonight. He'll start being able to work out next week. Charlie Moore was the preseason first-team all-conference in the Big East and led the Big East in assists. So he's our replacement for Chris Likes. So we're still recruiting, Joe. We're not done. We're keeping our eyes open. The transfer portal is closed now, but you know, kids can still, you know, get eligible during the summertime by passing summer school classes and make themselves eligible to transfer. So we're keeping our eyes and ears open. This is a recruiting weekend. Our coaching staff will be out on the road these next two weekends looking at kids, mostly high school kids now. So we'll keep our eyes and ears open. But Sam Wardenberg, is back and healthy and practicing now, so very, very good to have him back. Rodney Miller is working to get back. He's still not 100% after his surgery. So we're looking pretty good at this stage of the summer, but we got to stay healthy, Joe. You know what happened last year.
Oh, yeah.
And Coach, I got to ask you, you know, some Hawk will be mad at me if I don't ask you about some movies and some life questions. So have you seen any good movies lately? Have you enjoyed a movie with your wife lately?
I did. We went to a movie called Dream Horse, which took place in England, in a small town in England. And uh, these these small town people got together and they bought a horse, and they raised a colt into a competitor, a racehorse, and that racehorse, the people who haven't seen the movie, I don't want to ruin it for them, but that racehorse creates a lot of excitement in that community, and it's a really good true story. And then I saw another one. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. Have you heard of Hachi?
No.
What is it? These are different movies that Hachi's about a dog. And Richard Gere is the star of the movie, but the dog is really the star. Really, really nice. Kind of a nice, enjoyable story, but it's true about the loyalty of this dog to Richard Gere. Very, very nice story.
Have you seen The Kominsky Method on Netflix?
No, I watched one episode. It's not my kind of show.
And you know what? I had a question written down for you, Coach. What's the best seat on a plane? Because Hawkman sent us a picture of him. He's traveling to Pennsylvania with his son and wife and going to see their family. But he was in the aisle, and Solana gave him a hard time about why didn't you sit in the window? Everybody knows the middle seat's the worst. Which seat is the best? Is it the aisle or is it the window?
Oh, for me, it's the aisle. For me, it's a first-class seat. For me, it's not the first row or the last in first class. It's always like the second or third row, so I can stretch my legs out in below the seat in front of me. If you sit in row one, you got the bulkhead. You can't stretch out as much. If you sit in the last row, it doesn't recline as well. And I hate flying coach. I don't care if I'm on the aisle or window or middle in coach. It's awful.
You're a big dude.
I'm going to tell you what the best seat is. The best seat is an aisle seat on a charter airplane.
That's the way to go, Joe.
Yeah, I ain't got no money like that, coach. I got a ride. Yeah, I don't need my seats recline.
Every now and then we get one. Well, when we were traveling, when I was traveling, hopefully I'm. Well, hey, coach, I think I'll be traveling with you this year again. But
oh, we got it. We have to have people in the stands. We have to have a lot of excitement around this team. So keep your fingers crossed, Joe, that everything is going to go back to not just normal, but I'm going to say back to normal like 2016, 2017, when we were competing for the ACC title.
Yeah. There we go.
There we go. No question. All right, Coach, that was great. Really appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. Say hello to Mrs. L.
All right, guys, tell Hawkman I was asking for him.
Okay.
We'll let him know.
All right, guys, see ya.
Yes, sir.
The aisle seat on the charter is a good seat.
What? You know what?
The basketball charter. Joe, I get it. Everybody's going to yell at me. Oh, you know, now I guess where I go on a charter. I'm just saying that's the best seat.
But my only thing with the aisle is that now the people's walk past and their hip hits your shoulder. And
oh, no. Crowder, you know what always happened to me? I had a very good routine. Okay, you ready? I would always take the first flight out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first flight out always goes.
Yes.
And I would take the aisle seat, middle of the plane. I don't know, seat 15, 14, 15, 16, middle of the plane. And I carry my own luggage. I don't overpack, put my luggage in there. And I would bring the newspapers.
He had his whole schedule.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's what happens. You get on the aisle, and you're right. Everybody walks by you. They whack you with their elbow, mm-hmm. their hip, their oversized luggage.
Yes.
And then my favorite is, as I sit there, ready to read my newspaper, can I borrow your newspaper?
People That's ask number one. You?
Oh, yeah. They always want your newspaper. Then you never get it back. Now, I understand people aren't reading newspapers as much today, but when you actually have the physical newspaper on the plane, everybody would always ask, can I borrow your newspaper? Well, you have to be nice and say yes, but then you never get it back. So you basically buy them the newspaper. And then my all-time favorite is this. Now, I've spent the time to pick my seat. My all-time favorite is, do you mind switching? Sir, do you mind switching? I have my daughter over there and my wife over there, and would you mind switching? Okay, where would you like me to go? Well, how about if you go to 33B?
Middle 20 rows back.
Middle 20 rows. You know what? I just had knee surgery. I'm sorry.
No brace, no ace bandage.
Oh, no, my leg hurts. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Joe. Hey, I never had nobody ask me to do that because I
gave
him the ugly
face. There are hundreds of people driving right now that know either A, they're the culprit, or they know that they asked to borrow, they asked to take someone else's seat, or B, they're driving home right now saying, oh, yeah, I'm right with you, Josie. Someone always has their ticket messed up, or it's, excuse me, sir, you're in my seat. And you know damn well you're in your seat.
Yeah.
And you get up, and then you got to take your ticket out, your boarding pass, and you have to say, well, no, I'm right here in 13A. And then they look at you, oh, I'm sorry, it's 33A.
Yeah, Joe, you're nice. You're too nice. I ain't giving nobody my newspaper. I'm not justifying my seat to Jordan Wiskenhow because he doesn't know how to read a ticket. Joe, you're way nicer than I am on the plane.
So now when I say the best seat is a aisle seat on the charter, yes.
That's the way to go.
Because I used to love traveling, you know, before the charter.
Yeah.
People would say to me, you know, you travel a lot, right? Josie, you get tired of traveling? No, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. The airport, all the craziness in the airport. Oh, it's an ocean of friends. I loved it. Love watching those people. But now you get on the plane, and of course, if you watch the news, it's hand-to-hand combat now. People are crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Don't go there. They're getting nasty out there, Joe. Take care of yourself. I got your back.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Take your right hand and punch your left forearm as hard as you can.
Hawk and Crowder.
In just a matter of minutes, we're going to help you win $1,000, so stay tuned for that. We are going to help you win $1,000. Everybody can use $1,000 right now. Crowder, I spoke with the head of the Peach Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, last night. He tells me Alabama's already bought 16,000 tickets.
Yeah.
I spoke with Dave Feely, who's the University of Miami strength and conditioning coordinator. He does not know how many tickets Miami has sold, but he can tell me this. The guys are working hard. Derek King, he says, is just a monster on his way back.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to throw this at you real fast. Alabama last year, their last seven games, they averaged 50 points a game.
Ooh.
Over the last seven games. Alabama, they threw four interceptions last year.
The entire season.
The entire year. They threw four interceptions.
That's impressive.
And you know why else they won? Because they averaged 50% on third downs, conversions.
Yep.
They held their opponent to like 20%, and they convert 50%. Who the hell converts 50% on third down?
A team with a bunch of five-star All-Americans on their team. Third string backups are five stars, Joe. That's what Saban does. I think Saban's a better recruiter than even a coach. He just brings in talent.
Has anybody had a bigger impact on college football than Nick Saban?
Whew. That's a hell of a question.
We knew we'd need to explore in the next hour. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it in this way. All the guys he's gotten fired because they can't beat him.
They can't beat him.
All the guys that he's made a bazillion millionaires, I don't know, three times over, like Steve Sarkisian,
mm-hmm.
reclamation projects,
yep.
right? All the scheduling. Think about everything that he's done.
Even go back to Kirby Smart. And there's a bunch of guys, the South Carolina guy.
Will Muschamp.
Muschamp, Kirby Smart. Like, Pat Lee, a lot of people don't know. Look at Coach Saban's coaching tree, and it would blow your mind of how many people he's coached.
And the guys that he had on the staff here. All the way back to here.
Yep.
All right, so that's part of the agenda as we approach 4 o'clock. And when we come back, your chance to win $1,000.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I'm not even kidding. I think Sandlot is a swimming movie.
Hawk and Crowder.